Thank you very much, operator. Dear all, also a warm welcome from my side. Please note that this call is being recorded, and the replay will be available on our website at deutz.com later today. Your participation in the call implies your consent with this. Joining me today are our CEO, Sebastian Schulte, as well as our CFO, Timo Krutoff. As usual, Sebastian will walk you through the highlights of the performance of the group and then hand over to Timo, who will provide some more details on our financial figures. Sebastian will close the presentation with our current market outlook and our guidance. After this introduction, we will be happy to answer your questions. Please note that management comments during this call will include forward-looking statements which involve risks and uncertainties. For the discussion of risk factors, I encourage you to review the disclaimer contained in our annual report and this presentation. All documents relating to our Q1 23 reporting are available on our website. And without much further ado, I hand over to Sebastian.
Thank you very much, Christian, and also from my side, good morning and welcome to our Q1 23 investor presentation. It's great to be with you and talking to you again about our progress. Let me start with the highlights, so to speak, key operational strategic developments. And of course, we appreciate that last week when we had our AGM, our virtual AGM here in Cologne, we already published, or had to publish, preliminary results for the first quarter and gave already some insights on our outlook this year. So not all of it, what we're talking today is big news, but we believe it's worthwhile spending some more time on that and going into the details. So with that in mind, let me start with the new orders in Q1, which went up roughly 3% to 526 million euros. Starting also or basing on quite a strong Q1 last year already. That's why the increase is not that impressive, but as I said, it's on a high level. And it shows also, you know, book to bill 1.02. So still slightly, but still above one. So that means the growth path is still intact, but on a fairly high level, given where we came from. Unit sales, Deutz engines up 6% to now 46,110 units in the first quarter. And very important, obviously, their revenue went up by almost 16% to 17.2 million euros. So we're continuing that path that revenue increase exceeds unit sales increase, which typically is a good sign of profitability, as we'll see later in the bottom line figures. And yeah, bottom line figures is here the point. So adjusted EBIT. Pretty much doubled if you compare to the comparable quarter last year from, now to 32.1 million euro, up 16 million, translating into an EBIT margin of 6.2%, also up almost 3 percentage points. And very important for us, and we'll come to the strategic implications later, is that our classic segment, which currently is the backbone of our business here, and now yielded an EBIT margin of 8.8%, up 3 percentage points. So we have here arrived on a higher and very, very good level. Free cash flow, so cash conversion, it's all right, plus 10.8 million euro in the first quarter. Not a bad number. Typically the fourth quarter is always a bit of a challenge, and sometimes you have a reversion, so that's a very good number for first quarter. And with that in mind, after we looked at these preliminary Q1 numbers last week, we also defined or refined, but to be precise, our full year guidance slightly, and we'll see revenue for 23 now in the range now at the level of 2.1 billion euros and EBIT margin now at 5 percentage points, so pretty much on the upper end of the guidance which we published earlier this year to the market. Strategically, one highlight regarding our cooperation with Daimler Truck. We announced that the signature of that deal at the end of January, and now the closing has occurred. Everything is well prepared now, and as a result, Daimler Truck is now a shareholder in Deutz with a stake of roughly 4.2%. And also, we'll talk about our service strategy a bit more later in this call. Here we made further progress in expanding our international service network. Just to name one of the milestones we achieved, we now opened the 9th Deutz service center, the Deutz Power Center, DPC, in the US. So that's another proof point how we grow here in that in particular in terms of profitability, very important field. But let me go structure through our two or three pillars of the Dual Plus strategy. Just keep in mind, you know, Dual Plus is on the one hand here the classic Deutz and the green Deutz, and the Plus is going to be the service Deutz because it supports prospectively both classic and green business. So as said, Daimler Truck deal is completed, integration roadmap defined, implementation started. I'll spend some more minutes in a few pages on that. We are making progress in our supply chain production processes. It's still tough. It's still challenging at times for us. It's also for our customers. We'll hear later that market currently is not really a limiting factor, but supply chain is. So we're becoming better managing this, and that's certainly a plus, and that also reflects is reflected in the numbers. And with that in mind, we have a strong demand, particularly in our compact engines below 4 liters. And that's why we decided to implement a third shift here at, in Cologne in our production plant in the highly automated assembly line for sub 4 liter. Most likely, we're going to start that in the beginning of the second half to really, you know, meet the very, very healthy customer demand and benefit more from scale later on. So that's all under preparation. And in that context, and that was also one of the reasons why we decided to increase capacity here. We managed to further roll out our fixed volume program with most of you will have been talking in various roadshows and conferences on that fixed volume program on how that has been a success. So just to keep it, just to bring back to mind where the demand in these compact engines exceeded pretty much supply. So we'll manage here to combine fixed volume commitments from demand offtake commitments from our customers with respective price increases. And now if we consider the increased capacity for the sub 4 liter line, we are now have sold pretty much 75% of the yearly capacity, and we are at the moment already talking to some first customers in expanding this program into 2024. So summarizing here, the classic business continues to provide a strong foundation also for the implementation of green strategy. We're making good progress here. A few comments on Daimler Truck Corporation. As you all know, following our earlier communication this year, we as Deutz have acquired IP and licenses here for the development and also production of the medium duty and the heavy duty Daimler engines, initially for the off-highway application, but prospectively also on highway. This transaction has now completed, so the closing has occurred at the end of March. As a result, Daimler has taken a 4.2% shareholding stake in Deutz. And now it's obviously important to bring that corporation to life. So we are now, first of all, a technical point of view, we have done all the kickoff meetings. To transfer here the technology also physically to Deutz, we have initiated talks with the most important customers for those products. We want to make that, we're spending always some time on that because we want to make that really clear here, our commitment that as Deutz, we take an active role in the consolidation of the combustion engine market. And that certainly after our partnership with John Deere on the 3.9 engine, which is already running for a couple of years, this is the second big step, and there's more to come. If we then move on our green business, at the moment still, as you know, fairly small in terms of top line, but we need to, and we will, and we want to invest in the future of the company. So here the project pipeline is growing. At the moment, we're elaborating on 10 battery electric systems projects with OEM partners, some of them actually very, very large and relevant OEM partners. We're also working on 5 hydrogen projects. And as soon as any of those projects, we are able to disclose, we will do so, but at the moment that's still in the background. We also initiated and established a process to evaluate new business models and potential partnerships, which brings us also going beyond the engine, beyond the drivetrain, establishing us more working and thinking in ecosystems as well. So that's internal preparation, we're well on track here. And as you know, part of our commitment of our dual plus strategy is that we as DEUTZ will invest more than 100 million euro into the green sector by 2025. And when I say investing, I mean it's a combination, obviously, of R&D in terms of battery electric technology, hydrogen potentially, but also M&A and partnerships. So here the objective is clear. Long-term objective is clear. We want to become emission-free across the entire process chain no later than 2050. And when we say 2050, I mean it's a while, but we also need to be aware that obviously our CO2 emission and the products we produce, like more than 98% is in the use, and that's really the big lever in terms of production. We are going to be emission-free much, much sooner. Jumping to service, very proud. We are very proud that we've recorded here a strong first quarter. Our revenue rose further to now 121.3 million euros. So that's another significant increase by almost 11%. Remember, we came last year, we closed at roughly 450 million euro over the full year, profitable business. And now after 3 months, we are already at higher than 120. So we're well on track here. New orders up 128. So also book to bill in a healthy way. And where does it come from? Yeah, volume effects, particular for parts and our exchange business. So that's great. We'll see some details later. And as mentioned at the beginning of the presentation, we are continuing here our expansion of our in-house service structure. We opened now the ninth DEUTZ service center in all Michigan, and you see here on the map how we continuously rolling out here our footprint in the United States. And there are more acquisition targets in the pipeline. We're very confident that in the next months and quarters, we'll be able to announce here further rollout. And very important, one part of our strategic ambition objective is that we want to grow the service business. Top line is 600 million euro annual revenue by 2025, and we are here with our measures and activities well on track. So with that said, on the operational strategic highlights, I would for the moment hand over to Timo, who will translate that a bit more into numbers, which is obviously very important in this call.
Yes, thank you, Sebastian. Let me also welcome you to our Q1 call. I'm very happy to show you a little more of the numbers of the first quarter. We indeed started out very strongly into the new fiscal year. The Q1 with the sales of higher than 500 million euros was the strongest Q1 DEUTZ had in the last 15 years. So that's something I think we can be fairly happy about. We saw increases in new orders, unit sales, and revenue. So this does give us a strong base for the rest of the year. So therefore, we can now say that we are expecting to end up at the higher end of our guidance of 2.1 billion euros in sales. If we look into the different parts in a little more details, the book-to-bill ratio was with 1.02, a little higher than one, so that means we're still growing. Looking at new orders, plus 3.2% compared to the first quarter of 2022 doesn't look too much, but we have to remember that the first quarter of 2022 was indeed a very strong quarter. Unit sales up, therefore, 10.6%, revenue up 15.5%. Means, yes, we do have some benefits from mix effects, but also from the very strong pricing effects we're seeing. If we look into the different regions and also applications, we can first of all say that we did grow in every region and in every segment. So that's a very strong statement from my point of view. A little more specific, if we look into Americas, that we had the highest growth rate with roughly 35% growth. And there, especially our material handling business, which is strongly supported by all the investments that go into infrastructure right now in the US, grew the most. The other regions, if we look into how we grew in Europe, including Germany in 2022, we had a growth rate of roughly 16%. Now we're closer to 10%, if you combine those two. Therefore, still the strong growth, not quite as much so as in the last year. The Asia region did grow the least, 6.2%. We're only seeing slight growth in the, especially in China, after all the lockdowns are now over. But we're expecting a little more growth for the rest or for the second part of this fiscal year. On the different segments, as I said, growth in all areas, Sebastian already talked about a little bit, but it's for us very important that also the service segment grew again by 10.5%. We did grow 10% last year, so that did go well. And if you now take the first quarter with 121 million, then we should be in line with what we are planning and well above the 450 million we did have in last year in sales. EBIT, of course, also a very nice first quarter, especially compared to the weak quarter we had in Q1 in 22. So if you look at the absolute numbers, we pretty much doubled it. 15.8 million we made in Q1 in 2022. Now we're at 32 million with a margin of 6.2%. There are different reasons for it. Part of it is, first of all, scale effects. As I said, sales were very strong, so that, of course, helped, but also positive mix and positive price effects. We do have to say there are also some one-time effects in it, not too much, though, but a little bit. And for the rest of the year, we're going to see a little headwind potentially from the wage increases we are expecting over the year, which especially in Germany are going to hit us by mid of this year. But on the other hand, we're also hopefully going to see some scale effects. Net income before exceptional items is also up very nicely. We can say there were no exceptional items in the first quarter, so just normal business. And earnings per share, which of course is in line with EBIT, is now at 20 euro cents compared to 10 euro cents last year. Looking in a little more into the details, on the R&D side, we are very well in line with what we are planning. Also very much in line with last year. If you look at the absolute numbers, last year we spent 23.7, now 24.1 million in R&D. Investing heavily still in our future. Are well on track. A little special thing is if we look at capital expenditure here. On the capital expenditure side, we are not looking just into cash out for investment, but into the addition to fixed assets. And here we especially had the Daimler increase in the intangible assets. That has a big effect on this number. If we look at the normal effects of normal investment, I'd say then we are slightly above the last year, so also in line of what we've planned. Working capital is also, we were at 17.7% in the last quarter of last year. Now we're at 17.8%, so no big effects in this area. Cash flow situation is, from my perspective, very simple right now. We did increase significant in EBIT and EBITDA. Therefore, also we have the operating cash flow and therefore the free cash flow effects. Free cash flow positive now again with 10.8 million. Also fits well to our guidance, which is in the mid two-digit area for this year. Balance sheet remains very solid. We're still at an equity ratio of 45%. The dividend of 15 cents for the last year per share was paid yesterday, so that is also in line of what we had announced. So no big effects or issues here. A little deep dive into our two segments. We have the classic segment and the green segment. Let me start out with the green segment. First thing we should look at here is the EBIT margin, 8.8%. This is where we think in this area we want to be with our business in the classic segment. So a very big jump again from the 5.8% in last year. That is super positive. The rest is pretty much in line of what I've already said on the first slide. So new orders up, unit sales up, revenue up 16% again, mainly because of price and mix effects. If we look into the green segment, we do see on the new orders a little bit of a decline. This is especially due to our boat engines from Tokaido. That's a lot. We did have some special effects in the last year because of still COVID crisis. A lot of the leisure departments or the people for their hobbies did buy engines. So we see a little bit of a decline there in new orders, but unit sales are still up. Revenue is okay. If you look at the EBIT in this area, it would look a little weird, but you have to remember that we're not capitalizing most of what we're spending on R&D in our green segment. It goes directly into the EBIT. So what you see here is 100% investment into the future of our business. That's all from my side for now. I'm looking forward to your questions, but now I will hand over back to Sebastian.
Yeah, thank you very much, Timo, for that update on the numbers. And let me continue with a bit of an outlook for 23, the guidance. And we said already at the beginning, and we announced last week, we'll see now the unit sales in the upper end of the range we had earlier this year announced. And very clearly so, you know, demand is still strong, particularly in the US, particular also on the smaller engines at the moment. So so that's unchanged to what we have explained over the last months. But and that is one of the reasons why we went here on the upper end. We made the adjustment to capacity in the second half, and obviously that brings us more in line, more in the ability to actually meet the customer demand, and that then translates to the 195k engines. Accordingly, translating in revenue of 2.1 billion euro, according to our current estimations, and also bringing the EBIT margin on the upper end of the range as previously announced. Having in mind we started Q1 with 6.2%, but having also in mind there is still some uncertainties in the second half of the year, which brings us to that sort of cautiously optimistic view. Cash flow, I heard a lot from Timo already on the Q1 performance. And we expect for the full year mid-double-digit million euro amount. So yeah, strong start in 23. We expect the results to be at the upper end of the previously forecasted full year range, and are looking quite optimistically into the remaining 9 months of that year. Moving on the medium-term targets, which will derived are based on our new Dual Plus strategy. Revenue 25, we'll plan revenue in 25 to exceed 2.5 billion euros, with the growth coming also from the service business. 600 is our new target, coming from the 450 last year. And keep in mind, that's very profitable business, so that's great. And everything else will come mainly also from scale effects, and obviously a little bit continuation of our price policy. It translating then into a range for the adjusted EBIT margin for the group, you know, including or considering continuous ramp up of investing in green, which from a pure margin point of view is diluted. But for the group, we expect here the range for the margin between 6 and 7 percentage points for 25. And last point, obviously we want to keep in touch, close touch with you in various physical, maybe physical, but also partially virtual meetings. So we're going to be present at roadshows in Frankfurt and Munich and throughout May. We're going to be at conferences in Frankfurt and Hamburg throughout June. In August, we will then, as usual, announce the H1 figures. Planning another virtual roadshow in August. And a bit of a highlight in September, we're going to host a Capital Markets Day here at the facility in Cologne, where we're going to obviously talk in detail about all our aspects of our new group strategy, but we also want to combine it with, you know, being able for those who participate to feel, you know, the products, see the products we have in green and in classic. So that's a bit of an outlook. And with that in mind, I would like to also thank you for your attention to the presentation. And as usual, we're ready. I'll take any questions and back to Christian.
Yes, thank you very much, Sebastian. Thank you, team. Operator, please open the line for questions.
Ladies and gentlemen, at this time, we will begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star followed by one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star followed by two. If you're using speaker equipment today, please lift the handset before making a selection. Anyone who has a question may press star followed by one at this time. One moment for the first question, please. And first question comes from Jorge Gonzalez from Hauck Aufhäuser Investment Banking. Please go ahead.
Hello, good morning, Sebastian Timo. Thank you very much for taking my questions. And the first one, I'm sorry if you have commented about this because I connected to the telephone line at the beginning and the sound is much worse than the webcast. I don't know why. So firstly, regarding the service business, I was wondering if you can give us a roughly percentage of its contribution to the increase of the adjusted EBIT in the quarter. I mean, it is impressive, the adjusted EBIT margin you achieved in the first quarter. So I was trying to understand how this is going to look like there for the rest of the year, if this is like an exceptional quarter, and we should not take into account this contribution for the rest of the year, or if there is any trend that is supporting an increase of service business in general for the year. Apart from that, I'm also curious about the development of Sunny Young Venture. Looking to the equity accounted income, it should be at similar levels, but I would appreciate if you can give us an update and also if you can also enjoy some tailwinds from the business in China for the rest of the year. What is your view here? Thank you very much.
Thank you. So you were very difficult to understand, but I believe we covered most, or we understood most of your question. Please feel free, if we didn't answer the question, then to repeat back. Service, you, what we got is you wanted to understand here the percentage to EBIT in the first quarter. And you know, Jorge, we are fairly reluctant to disclose service margins. I can just assure you that the service margin quality has remained on a constant high level like in the past years. So we grew the top line and margin quality has been constant. And that's one of the important preconditions also for our service growth, that we don't want it to be diluted. We do expect, I mean, we closed last year with service revenue of 450. And I said in the midterm, we want to grow to 600 in 25. And we do expect a rather constant growth over those 3 years without disclosing any number yet. But we do expect the growth compared to 22 to remain constant. Well, that's going to be really 10% throughout the year, time will tell, but it's going to be a substantial increase. So that's what I understood was the question on service. The second question we understood was on the development of the Zani joint venture in terms of engine production and sales and probably contribution to net income. And that question, I believe, Timo will take, right?
Yes, I'll do that. I'll do that. So if we look at the situation in China, as I said before, we're only seeing a slight pickup. We did have negative numbers in China last year. We communicated that. So the first quarter did look a little better. So we are just slightly negative in Q1 if we look into the situation. We do expect a better outlook though for the second half of the year. Hopefully, everything we hear from the construction business, especially the market, is going to hopefully pick up. And then we should also see that in the result.
And as you know, the numbers, neither the top line nor the EBIT, is fully consolidated. So when we're talking here about the bottom line contribution, that's the equity income, which, as Timo said, is slightly below the bottom line. So I hope we got the questions right, because again, you were not easy to be understood. Was that all right?
Yes, Sebastian, thank you. Yeah, the line is not really clear, but I think I got the answers I was looking for. Thank you very much again.
And the next question comes from Stefan Augustin from Warburg Research. Please go ahead.
Yes, hello, and I hope you can hear me. I will ask my question quite slowly because the phone line seems to be quite bad. I probably listen to your answer over the internet, but there is a couple of seconds time delay, so if I respond a little bit later, please bear with me. The question I have is on the net positive price increase I sense in the Deutsch Classic business. So I fully understand that you expect that wages increase by the second half and that diminish and that net price increase year over year we have. But is there anything else we should take into account for diminishing of that net positive price effect going forward in this year?
Yes, thank you for that question. So yes, indeed, we did have some effects also in the first quarter that might only have an effect in the first quarter. The first one is that we did have some inventory that was still on a lower price level. We also saw, of course, price increases on the component side. So therefore, we are going to have a little higher cost in the second part of the year if we look at our components. That should hopefully then be partially offset by some of the things we do on the sales side. So price increases are, of course, still in the negotiation, and we'll see where we'll end up there.
And to add one thing, we are, as said, preparing here the ramp up of capacity for the third shift in our automated assembly line 5 here in Cologne. So once the ramp up is complete, that will help us significantly to utilize higher scale. But obviously, when you ramp up a production line from 2 shifts to 3 shifts, it's not completely smooth process. The first 2 to 6 weeks will not be super efficient and cost effective. So that's just something we need to keep in mind as a slight risk, let's put it that way. But I think you hear between the lines that we are fairly optimistic, but obviously, you know, there are still some uncertainties around there, and we'll hope to manage these uncertainties in the best way, like we managed to do that recently.
Just a second, I'm still listening to your answer.
Okay.
Yes, thank you very much.
Okay, great. Ben, operator, what do we have something else?
Yes, there are no more further questions at this time, and I hand back to Christian Ludwig for closing comments.
Thank you very much, operator. Thank everybody for listening in. Thank you for your questions. If you should have any additional questions, the IR department is at your service, so please give us a call. And if not, we'll see you either at one of our roadshows or conference or at the latest at our Q2 call on the 10th of August. Have a great day and goodbye from Cologne.